Moving in on towards the bottom of the hour news break, Yael Osowski from the Consumer Choice Center is going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes to talk about a few different topics related to North Carolina, across the country, and really around the world. Yael, well-versed and well-traveled, and we'll get his thoughts on a number of different topics, including his recent op-ed in the Charlotte Observer calling for the privatization of our liquor system here in the state of North Carolina, which would, of course, eliminate and talk about abolishing. We can abolish one thing, and that would be, the ABC system and the monopoly the state has over our booze here in North Carolina. That being said, as we move into the break, later on today, the National Weather Service recognizes this week as Severe Weather Preparedness Week, and schools, government buildings statewide will be holding a tornado drill today, beginning at 9:30 this morning, to practice their emergency plans. Test messages will be broadcast throughout weather radios, the emergency alert system. All North Carolinians encouraged to participate in this drill, and I thought it's a timely topic given what the folks in Alabama have been dealing with over the last couple of days, two dozen or so people from ages 6 to 89 years old died from the massive tornadoes that ripped through Alabama earlier this week. And for myself, kind of close to home in that an experience I had when I first moved to the Wilmington area and got my first job with the old Big Talker FM. The second day on the job was the day that the deadly tornado hit out in Regalwood years ago and took the lives of a couple of the people just to our west. And North Carolina also prone to tornadoes. I also remember when Chad was on the air as he joined the Big Talker FM years later, and up near his home in Sanford, they also dealt with a tornado some time ago that ripped apart the Lowe's Home Improvement store there. Fortunately, no one was injured there. And then I remember watching that rain-wrapped tornado, move through the city of Raleigh. So we know that the state of North Carolina prone to these types of things. And as weather systems have become more and more, and meteorologists have become more and more apt at using technology to lay out where potential storms could hit. We found out here just over the last 24 hours or so that many of the meteorologists had predicted that storms were likely to hit, meaning tornadoes likely to hit in the areas of Alabama, like 10, 12, 15 hours before the actual storms touched down and caused all of that destruction. So the need to heed the warnings from our weather officials, whether that be from a hurricane or here when it comes to tornadoes, and when the spring and the fall rolls around here in North Carolina, we are open to the potential for a severe weather storm from hitting us. Here in New Hanover County, it seems like, along the immediate coast, now you get up into Pender and parts of Brunswick County, we're a little less frequently seeing these tornadoes actually touch down with the circulation, and I think that may have to do something with the sea breeze. Now, I'm not a meteorologist, but the way it seems that these storms come and hit our area most of the time, if you look in the radar, it seems like New Hanover County in particular, especially as we get down towards the southern part of the county, a lot of these storm systems that come with these potential tornadoes, we miss out on it. While just maybe 10 miles to the north, you get to Burgaw and places up further north and west, they do get slammed. And I think today, take that day to understand how warm weather can quickly create with these storm fronts, can create the tornado conditions that took the lives of some two dozen people. So the need to heed these warnings is important. The need to recognize that we live in a place that we could deal, obviously, we all know that, just this past September dealing with Hurricane Florence. We know that we need to keep the weather in mind and make sure that we do have a plan in place, whether that be for your family, whether that be implementing the plans with your kids, if you are not with your loved ones in certain times of the day, that they understand what they should be doing in the event a severe weather occurrence happens here in this area. I think it's a good message here today and every day to make sure, particularly for our young kids, whether that be at school, yes, the schools help prepare, but also talking with your kids, talking with your family members, friends, your elderly family members and friends about some of these things that could come about here and where we live geographically on the map. That said, Yael Osowski is going to join us after the bottom of the hour news break. I hope you stay tuned to this great conversation that's ahead with Yael from the Consumer Choice Center. Look forward to it after the break.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The situation along the U.S.-Mexico border at a breaking point, according to the Chief of Customs and Border Protection. CPB detained more than 76,000 people crossing into the U.S. illegally last month. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen testifies today before the House Homeland Security Committee. Democrats expected to grill her about the president's southern border emergency declaration. Now it looks like a vote on an anti-Semitism resolution in the House may not come until tomorrow. That resolution is being tweaked by Democrats. President Trump approving a disaster declaration for tornado-ravaged parts of Alabama. And on Friday, the president will visit hard-hit Lee County, Alabama. Wall Street this morning, Dow futures down 40 points, S&P futures 4 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
It's so nice now that the kids are asleep.
Cheers.
We got the kids, our house, a stable income.
Checking off all the boxes.
But there's one box we haven't checked off.
What's that?
Life insurance.
We don't need to think about that now. We're young.
That's why now is the best time. Life insurance gets more expensive the older you get.
But I don't have time to do a blood test. It's such a hassle to meet with someone just to get a quote.
Not with Ethos.
Ethos?
It's a modern kind of life insurance. You just answer 4 quick questions at getethos.com and get a free instant quote. No pushy salespeople. And no medical exams required for policies covering under $1 million. You can apply online in just 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Let's do it.
But then what will we do for the rest of the night?
I'm sure we can think of something.
Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to getethos.com. That's E-T-H-O-S. Getethos.com. Getethos.com.
Hello, I'm Jeff Reibenbach with WWA News. A third and fourth arrest have been made in connection with the District 9 investigation into ballot fraud. Tanya Marie Gordon was arrested yesterday after turning herself in at the Bladen County Sheriff's Office. She's charged with conspiracy to commit felonious obstruction of justice and possession of absentee ballot. Matthew Monroe Mathis was arrested last night in Sampson County. Mathis has been charged with conspiracy to commit felonious obstruction of justice, possession of absentee ballot, and falsely signing certification on absentee ballots. A $5,000 reward is being offered for information leading to an arrest in a felony hit-and-run crash that injured a Wilmington bartender last month. Justin Sartain was hit in the intersection of South 3rd and Dock Streets on February 23rd as he walked to work. Crime Stoppers of the Lower Cape Fear, in conjunction with the Wilmington Police Department, is now offering a reward of up to $5,000 for information in the case. If you know anything, contact Wilmington Police or use text-a-tip. North Carolina's annual statewide tornado drill will be taking place today at 9:30. The Weather Service says every school, business, workplace, and family across the state is strongly encouraged to take part. A group is working to bring Major League Baseball to Raleigh. MLB Raleigh tweeted yesterday that they had officially declared Raleigh a candidate for a Major League Baseball franchise and wants people to join the effort. However, there are some hurdles, such as finding land for a stadium. And the big act for the Saturday concert of the Azalea Festival has been announced. Rapper Ice Cube is headed to the Port City. The iconic artist will play the main stage in downtown Wilmington Saturday, April 6th. Ice Cube joins the star lineup for the Azalea Festival concert. Tyler Farr plays Thursday, April 4th, and Hank Williams Jr. performs Friday, April 5th. You'll find these stories and much more on WWY and online at WWYTV3.com.
I'm meteorologist Justin McKee with your WWAY Storm Track 3 AccuWeather forecast. A cold start out there with quite a few places dropping below freezing. We're not going to see much recovery with the temperatures this afternoon. Highs expected to be in the mid-40s, 46 for Wilmington. Good news is bright skies are expected for today. Clear skies tonight, lows dropping down into the upper 20s yet again, and then Thursday will be slightly milder. Highs in the mid-50s, sun and some thin clouds out there. Get your full forecast on WWAY and WWAYTV3.com.
Hi, I'm C. Edwards, president of Marcraft Cabinets. Marcraft is a service and installation company specializing in kitchen and bath, cabinetry, and countertops. Please visit us online at Marcraft.com or call our design studio at 910-793-0202.
News and weather brought to you by GRA Maven. Veteran-owned and operated, GRA Maven provides the best in-breed security solutions and training. Contact us today at GRAMaven.com. GRAMAVEN.com. GRA Maven, peerless expertise.
Joe. Catanacci.
The torch has been passed.
If he says great things about me, I'm going to say great things about him.
I have no doubt that he's an unwitting agent of the Russian Federation.
I mean, the man has very strong control.
It is scary.
I can imagine, at least in the early stages, flattery, complimenting him.
Joe Catanacci.
We want a real meeting with a real agenda. This ain't Miss America, this is America.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Joe Catanacci.
Final half hour of the show here, 24 minutes in front of the hour, leading into the Chad Adams Show from 9 a.m. till noon here on the Big Talker FM. Looking forward to hearing Chad's perspective on some of the statewide news, including the governor's plan, of course, to release his budget proposal for the upcoming years for state government, among some other things that we're hearing this and that related to our state here in North Carolina. Yael Osowski is from the Consumer Choice Center. He's been on the show with us a couple of times, and I caught his op-ed that was published in the Charlotte Observer this week, calling for a privatization of North Carolina's liquor system, the ABC system. We'll get into that topic in just a minute. I've also got some things I want to talk to him about internationally and nationally as well, because he's well-traveled, well-versed, and I think he can provide perspective that you may not hear on the day-to-day basis through some of the mainstream news networks. Yael, it's great to have you back on the show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Joe. Thanks so much. And what a killer intro music.
That's right. We put together our production crew here, always having a little fun. We got to have a little fun at work, you know? That's part of the business that we live in. Entertain and inform.
Exactly.
All right, so let's start internationally. You have spent time and spend a lot of your time across the other side of the world in Austria, and this larger conversation, I know I didn't necessarily hint that we'd be talking about this, but I figured I'd get your feedback. There's been a debate here as of late in our country on whether or not we should be leaning more towards democratic socialist policies, whatever that means here in our country. And some of my Bernie Sanders friends and other supporters of these Medicare for all, free education for all type of initiatives are often pointing to the European model. They often point to places like Norway and free healthcare for all, free education. Norway, by the way, is a country of 5 million people. That's the population of about South Carolina. I know you've traveled a ton. You live overseas in Austria. Give me your thoughts on how it would work here. Would it work here if we start implementing policies like free healthcare for all and free education?
So yeah, I think that's an interesting question. One point about Norway is it is a petro-state, totally reliant on oil and gas for their economy, so that actually artificially props them up, and that allows them to have these super robust kind of social democratic policies. When it comes to the other states, you know, if people want to try out this kind of democratic socialism, they're very much free to. Just be prepared to pay, you know, 50% or more of your income in taxation, which we don't do at present. The U.S. has, you know, one of the lower taxes globally, not on corporations, but on individuals. And that allows people to create businesses, have more incentives. So again, people are free to try that system, but that doesn't always mean A, it'll be efficient, and B, it's actually going to save money. Point you mentioned before on Norway is it's 5 million people. A lot of the states around Europe are on average only 8 to 10 million people. Germany is one of the largest at about 85 million. And even then it's broken down. You know, you have not just a national healthcare system, but you have state-based healthcare systems. So you don't have this kind of grand, you know, post office-like department that's controlling everything like they seem to claim. It really is broken up down at the local level as much as possible. That's not as conservative as many others would like it, but it's at least, you know, somewhat of a better approach. There are states that don't do a very good job at all. And in these kind of circumstances, they're not allowing any kind of competition. But there's a great point made by the author Johan Norberg. He's a great author who writes a lot about Sweden. And what he found there is actually there's so much market mechanisms at work in the Swedish model that there's no way it is any kind of democratic socialism. There's actually more free enterprise. There's actually more competition. There's less barriers to entry for companies to exist. And actually, the government spending levels are very similar to the United States. So we actually have a kind of big government system in place when you look at definitely Medicare, Social Security, look at insurance for a lot of people. There's a lot of things that we're wanting, of course, but that doesn't mean that everything is rosy on the other side.
Yeah, the grass is not always greener, but I think just in about 3.5 minutes, you gave us more of an in-depth perspective and conversation and analysis of the global democracies and other forms of government that are in place and the way they operate than I've ever heard on any mainstream news network or in any article that's been ever published by some of the national, international publications that take up this and even push for some of these policies to be implemented in the United States. I think it's hilarious to me and sad at the same time.
And I think one other thing that we're talking about is, you know, we're a country of 330, 340 million people in the U.S. You know, there is no other country that is a market-based system that works like ours does with the market that we have. It just doesn't exist. That's why if you are going to have any of these type of things, you need to have competition. You need to have much lower levels of administration. You know, this is something that if people want to take control and they want to, let's say, implement more policies that would be socialist, they're very free to do it at the local level. That's why we have city councils. That's why we have national assemblies or state assemblies. People can try to do that, but we kind of see that people don't really have that in them in the United States. It's just not in our creed. It's not something that people want to be voting for. People want to have more freedom from the government than to have more government running their lives like a grand post office.
And circling back to where this conversation began, I brought up the country of Norway. Also interesting that many of the same people here in our country that are pushing some of these policies that are implemented in places like Norway are heavily reliant, something you also hear, the same people who are pushing these policies are the same people that want to rid our country from fossil fuels and oil dependency, when in fact that is how Norway is able to fund their policies and things that they put in place in their country. So it's amazing that, again, we leave out all of these valuable pieces to the conversation when we talk about some of the pipe dreams that we have here in our country as the grandiose that we are from sea to shining sea. Yael Lisowski with the Consumer Choice Center is with us here this morning. All right, we talked internationally. Now let's get into the national discussion. When we first brought you on the program, you talked a little bit about the FCC and then pulling back rules on something called net neutrality. And since then, and as that conversation was going, many of the detractors were talking about how millions of people were going to die from this. The doom and gloom prediction that we hear oftentimes from those who oppose anything but the status quo, just the divide and conquer type of mindset. People are going to die. We're suppressing this group, that group, the fear and scare tactics. Well, those rules were pulled back in 2017. And by any stretch of the imagination, I mean, I have not seen a big impact in my everyday life. Well, now we have certain folks in Congress that are pushing to reinstate some of these rules on net neutrality. Where does this conversation go up in Washington now?
Well, you see, Joe, there actually have been some changes. It seems that since net neutrality has been repealed, the average internet speed is actually going up.
Huh.
And we are seeing more investments, which is kind of what people who were against net neutrality in the beginning were saying. But, you know, that's another point. What we're seeing in Washington right now is you have three different bills that are up on net neutrality. Some of them are trying to reclassify the internet as Title II. That means it would be regulated the same way as the telephone companies. This is essentially a regulatory package from the 1800s that people have been trying to put onto the internet. And then you have other bills that are there to essentially take some of the messaging of net neutrality, such as no blocking, such as no paid prioritization, try to put that into bills. And what we're seeing there is actually there's not a united front. There's a lot of kind of breaks between groups and proponents. Not everyone is happy with this, certainly not those who would be against kind of more government regulation of the internet. How it works right now is everything is regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. So if you have any disputes or you think that your ISP has been ripping you off, there's an exact process for that. And people are not being left in the dark. There's huge arguments about whether or not companies are going to be investing in broadband and trying to expand networks. And that's a great thing. And we do need more of that. But with this kind of new fifth generation technology, some of your listeners have probably heard about 5G. we're actually seeing that there's a huge amount of investment around the country. The U.S. is very lucky. We have a lot of great connections for internet and networking across the country, even in rural areas. And with this new upcoming fifth generation, that actually means we're going to have even more investment. So we're hopefully going to be more of a testing ground, and the United States can compete against the big giants that have already done this, like China. So I think right now I don't see the numbers in Congress to change anything. There's been a lawsuit in the courts. The Supreme Court declined the case on net neutrality, so right now it stands. The internet will not be controlled by the FCC. It's still in the hands of kind of FTC for disputes, and people are still free to contract with any ISP they want and not have any kind of government regulation telling them that they can have access to X website or Y website. So overall, that's very good for consumers and for everyone as a whole.
When we talk about the internet, and I know there's been a lot made, before we take a break here, I just want to get your quick thoughts on some of the social media platforms and the way they have gone about maybe holding back on certain people and the way they have viewpoints, even into the digital advertising portion and the way people share data and information with people, you know, from people's profiles and whatnot. Do you think, as the government tried to get a handle on this a couple of months ago, and then, you know, when you see a bunch of old white-haired guys trying to talk about the internet and then hearing from their staffers behind them, the millennials actually telling them, you know, what to say, it seemed like during these conversations when the Zuckerbergs of the world were, you know, testifying in front of Congress, do you see the government stepping in, or do you see a learning gap being closed based on the consumer, us, the people who utilize Facebook, Twitter, and the way we're learning about how our data is shared? And do you think that's a concerning thing to the public out there yet, or is it still just a platform where people just feel they can put out anything and their data no longer is secure and their privacy no longer there as well?
Well, Joe, there was a pretty good investigative report done by The Verge a couple of weeks ago that I would point your listeners to, and it went through the average day of a content moderator on Facebook. This is the person who looks at every piece of content that's flagged, whether people might think it's abusive or they might think it promotes violence, it has any kind of nudity. There are, you know, huge swaths of people who are working on this, tens of thousands of people in every single country where Facebook is. And even then, the policies are not very clear. It's very uncertain. And people are only doing this, the companies such as Facebook and Twitter and Google, YouTube, and the rest, they're doing this as a reaction to everything that's happened in the last 2-3 years. So I think we're seeing a lot of action from companies. There still needs to be a lot of pressure from media and consumers alike. But again, these are platforms that essentially most people aren't paying for. You know, you are yourself a kind of customer on the Facebook platform. You're not paying anything for it. You're paying with your data. We know that. It's the same thing with the radio. You listen, and then we have advertisers who are there who attempt to sell their products. So we're seeing that there is a good amount of feedback that is happening in that loop. I think the laws that are kind of being discussed are maybe breaking up monopolies, I think that's far too quick to be discussing that. It's really going to limit what we have on the internet, and it's going to make any kind of new innovation that comes after Facebook and Twitter much worse. So we have to allow more innovation to happen, and I think real-time feedback loops like we have now, where a lot of these platforms are changing their policies, they're listening to people, they're not censoring as many people with alternative viewpoints, the more and more that can get out into the open, the more kind of self-censorship kind of goes away, and the more we can have, you know, a pretty balanced platform that everyone can use, and we're going to adhere to the principles of free speech. So we're seeing that more and more. I hope we don't have any big bills that are going to try to restrict that freedom, because right now everybody benefits. I think it's a great way to connect with people. Everyone knows that. Everyone has been able to expand their network exponentially because of things like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, increase our knowledge. So in no way should we look at restricting it. But I do think that we have to keep adding pressure. Media needs to keep adding pressure rather than the government.
Yael Lisowski from the Consumer Choice Center joins us here this morning, giving us some comments on some international, national news. We'll break down a statewide opinion piece that he had when we wrap up the show after this final break. His viewpoint, the archaic ABC system monopolizing the liquor industry here in the state of North Carolina. Is it time to end that and get into privatization? Well, Yael thinks so, and he'll give us his reasons why when we wrap up the show after this on the Big Talker FM.
Cape Fear Stage presents The Chieftains at Keenan Auditorium. Friday, March 8th, Keenan Auditorium. Six-time Grammy Award winners, The Chieftains. Tickets on sale now at wilsoncentertickets.com or by phone. More at thechieftains.com.
Marcraft Cabinets is a service and installation company that specializes in kitchen and bath cabinetry and countertops. We have built our business around exceptional service and people since 1985. Our experienced teams are here to assist you with new construction, custom remodels, or commercial projects in the Wilmington and surrounding markets. Please visit us at our design studio, 2705 Castle Creek Lane, or call 910-793-0202 or visit our website at marcraft.com.
Lower Cape Fear Hospice provides care for more than 750 patients, along with their families, each and every day. That's because they're the most trusted hospice and palliative care provider in our area. With almost 40 years of experience, you can be assured that you or your loved one will receive the highest quality, compassionate care and support. The choice in providers is yours. Choose the experts. Choose Lower Cape Fear Hospice. To learn more, visit lcfh.org.
This year, the American Legion is celebrating its 100th anniversary, and Wilmington Post 10 wants to share it with you. Join them on March 16th for two special events. There will be a recognition ceremony from 11 a.m. till noon in Hugh McCrae Park at the Legion Memorial. This event is free and open to the public. From 1 till 6 p.m. on March 16th, there will be a celebration social at Post 10 with live music and military memorabilia displays from 1919 to 2019. There will also be the best barbecue and baked chicken on the planet. The event is $25 per couple or $15 for individuals. Children 12 and under are admitted free. Post 10 is located at 702 Pine Grove Drive in Wilmington. For ticket information, call 910-799-3806. 910-799-3806. Come share the legacy of the American Legion. Be part of the vision.
Coastal Preparatory Academy, a tuition-free public charter school, is now enrolling for grades K through 8. Coastal Prep is open to any NC resident. Coastal Prep offers a free, project-based learning environment with flexible seating, Singapore math, and a classical curriculum. We teach core values and provide authentic learning experiences. Your child will love to come to school. We believe in educating the whole child, and our motto is every kid, every day, no excuses. Check us out on the web at coastalprep.org and fill out an application today.
Yael Osowski from the Consumer Choice Center joins us this morning, and to pick up where we left off, again, an op-ed in the Charlotte Observer he has this week calling for an end to the state's archaic ABC system. Yael, lay things out for us, all of us probably have been calling for many years here in the state, why maybe state lawmakers have been hesitant to go towards the privatization route when it comes to our booze industry here in North Carolina.
That's pretty crazy here, Joe. The system that we have in North Carolina means that one of the substances that was banned, and actually was banned in our Constitution some 86 years ago, is actually now wholly owned by the state of North Carolina. That's the private liquor sales. Anyone who's who wants to put together a gin tonic or any kind of nice whiskey contraption has to go to the ABC store, which is owned or managed by a local government entity. There's a local ABC board that's attached to that, and they determine prices, they determine who's distributed, they determine what kind of liquor gets put on the shelves. And that leads to a lot of issues, not just cost, but also in terms of limiting the kind of products that we're having on our list, the prices that will go up. And really, it means that you're having less innovation in that space that we could otherwise have if we had a more private model. So if you just think about it simply, in North Carolina, we have 168 individual local ABC boards. And these are all people who are elected, all people who are typically politicians or bureaucrats, who are determining the price of liquor, determining how it's distributed, how the label should be, where in the store the bottle should be. It's just not something the government should do. We have a state monopoly on liquor, but we don't have a state monopoly on things like tobacco or cured meats or many other dangerous substances that we have systems in place for to sell on the private market. I think this system is just too old. I think it's a remnant of the prohibition era, and I think there is a way forward. And thankfully, there are a couple legislators in Raleigh that are thinking about changing this as well.
Now, when we look at the funding of this, many local ABC boards, I know you documented like almost 200 of them here in the state, they talk about how monies would dry up if, in fact, they went to privatizing the industry. How would the monies work and the revenues work as far as sharing that with the state? I mean, it would be sales tax and stuff like that would still go to the state. What's the defense of that argument there when some of the people of the ABC talk about that?
And that's kind of the bad part of this, is that we're not even talking about alcohol or kind of moderate drinking. It's always about money and taxation. That's all it comes down to, and it's pretty unfortunate, and it shows what the interest of so many people who are against privatization are. So last year, the ABC system made $1 billion. $430 million of that was in tax revenue to state and local governments. Obviously, a lot of money. But these are stores that are owned, operated, and distributed everything by local boards and the state system. So we just have to imagine that in almost 33 other states where they have private liquor sales, they're able to raise that money through excise taxes, through the sales taxes, through the money that's collected in the stores, in the venues where people are going to be able to sell liquor openly for the first time. So there's an easy way to make up that money. The problem that we have in North Carolina is that our legislators have just grown way too reliant on that, and it is a lot of money, but it's the same problem we have with the lottery, where we're promised this huge swath of money that'll go to education or will go to plug this hole, when it ends up just becoming a slush fund for all the big general projects that our state legislators love, and less of that money is going where it intended to go. So hopefully there's going to be a good push. I've already gotten some very good feedback from legislators, a lot of aides that are working in Raleigh who say there's some mounting pressure behind the scenes, and we might just see a privatized model of alcohol and liquor distribution in North Carolina here in the next few months. So I'm very positive about that.
How would that relate to talking about more along the lines of spirits here with the ABC system, but how about the ever-growing craft beer industry here in the state? There are a number of breweries that have been at odds with state lawmakers. We just got a couple of minutes left, like 2 minutes, but they've been at odds because they're starting to get to such a capacity where they could massively produce and distribute their own beer, but because lawmakers and their distributing friends, they have kind of stymied that effort by some of our bigger breweries out in Mecklenburg County, Red Oak up there in the Elon Greensboro area, similar types of craft breweries like those companies.
Yeah, there's so much innovation that's happening in the craft brew scene. There's a little bit that's happening in the distillery scene as well, but again, they're capped by this North Carolina system that has a monopoly on the liquor sales. But we are seeing more and more people that are innovating, going around the rules. Some people are tinkering different changes, being able to have in-store tastings, being able to kind of purchase online. These are small things that will come. And there's a great book by my friend John Trump called Still in Barrel, where he actually tours all the great distilleries in North Carolina and gives the lowdown on some of the great products and innovation we have. We just hope that kind of system can catch up and people can use the same kind of system that delivers us our great craft brews across the state and hopefully get some of the distilleries to be offering great products as well. And we can see this not just at the ABC store run and managed by the government, but also perhaps at our private stores, so more entrepreneurs can get in on the scene, we can lower prices, and we can finally rid the system of corruption.
Freedom, innovation, and choice, all things that we are advocates for here on this program. Yael Lisowski, I think you've provided, as always, some valuable perspective. Thanks a lot for contributing. We'll touch base again here soon.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Yael Lisowski from the Consumer Choice Center, based out of Charlotte. He's all over the world. It's great to get him on the program every so often, once a month, to talk about things going on in his world. Give you a clear perspective of things going on around the world that you may not hear from other media outlets here along the state and across the country. That'll do it for another edition of our program. We'll talk to you tomorrow, hopefully from Seattle, Washington. Have a great day.
News happens every day.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. She may be called upon to defend President Trump's border emergency declaration. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen goes before the Democrat-controlled House Homeland Security Committee later today. Her testimony comes as officials warn of a surge in illegal southern border crossings, overwhelming border agents and facilities.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection says more than 76,000 migrants crossed the U.S.-Mexico border last month. According to CBP Commissioner Kevin Mikkelinen, the system is well beyond capacity.